If you want to turn in your Bibles, if we get there to, what did I say? My mind's like racing right now. Jeremiah 29. And we may or may not get there. But what, as James was talking, that's exactly what I was sitting there thinking. My mind flashed back to years ago. We went to a crisis pregnancy dinner down in Rootville Baptist. Y'all might have been there that night. There was a guy that spoke that was some kind of neurosurgeon, just a genius. And he spoke, and I bought his book, but I got about a chapter or two into it. It was just too, it was too deep for me, or too heavy, or too, I couldn't get it. It was too smart for me. But he debated, like, people, big dogs in, like, is it NARAL, Planned Parenthood, on national stages. He would debate these people from these outfits that, you know, push abortion. And he said he would put so much pressure on himself that he would make himself physically sick, almost the pressure to win this person to the Lord on, in front of the Columbia University staff or faculty. He did things like Robbie Zacharias used to do back in the day, go on the Stanford's campus and debate the head of their psychology department, or debate the head of California's Planned Parenthood at UC Berkeley. It was always in, like, enemy territory. And he said that he just, but he would make himself physically ill. Then finally it dawned on him. The Lord finally broke through to him. He was like, you're trying to do something that only I can do. He said, you pray and you seek me and leave anything else that happens in my court. And he said, so it completely changed his debate tactics with these people. And he said, what changed was, he said, you know what? The way human pride is, now God can do anything. I mean, if he can break Saul of Tarsus's pride just like that. Well, it wasn't just like that. There were some steps of walking into town blind. And there was, Ananias had to be obedient. There's a sermon in that. Amen. You know, a lot of times I'm thinking, how many Sauls are waiting to be Pauls, but God needs some Ananiases to step in the gap. Think about that. Somebody hasn't. You ever known anybody that can't get out of their own intellect, and they have an encounter with God? Well, maybe in that moment when their thinking was shook, they needed an Ananias to step in. And they didn't step forward. So if you're nudged, that spirit, hearing what the spirit says in a church service, oh, yield to it. Yield to it. You'll never know what might happen on the other end of that act of obedience. Amen. You might have a person turn into Paul before you're the town drunk, the agnostic, the rich guy at work that's against God. You never know what God can do. But this guy, back to this guy, he said it changed. He said, I changed my whole tactics in debating these people. He said, and it changed everything. He said, I fasted and I prayed and I left it with God. He said, because human pride being what it is, he said, I wanted to so say something to take them off their game, to embarrass them in front of their colleagues, basically, which is prideful. He said, but when the Lord revealed to me, he said, no, what you need to do is fast and pray for them individually as a person that I died for. He said, and my point changed to, I wanted to say something that the Spirit could use, that when that person I was debating went to bed that night and had his head meet the pillow moment, exactly what James just said, that their thinking was challenged and their heart was open, and that something in the way they've always thought and fought for just didn't sit right when their head, not when the cameras were on. He said, because the Lord revealed to me, even if something pierces their heart, most of them will at least keep the facade up so that they don't lose face on the stage. He said, but when they go to bed at night, when it's them and their pillow and their thoughts, that's when I'll do my work. So I guess I said all that to say, what's your head meets the pillow like right now? You know, Sid went through a time, and he doesn't speak about it as much, but I'm sure he still believes it. Talking about that supernatural sleep, that he would pray and ask for that. You know, and I'm wondering why I'm wore out by Wednesday at 2 p.m. because I go to bed every night to the Golf Channel. Nothing against the Golf Channel. God's not mad at me for waking up at 3 with the Golf Channel still going. But what if I got on my hands and knees first in Mary's room and then down the hall in Trevor's room and then down the hall in Hannah's room and then with my wife, and then I spent 5 minutes before the Lord with no TV on? I have to believe the character of the guy I read about from Genesis to Revelation would meet me there. I don't know how. I don't know how fast I would tangibly know it. But I think he would. Amen? But you know what? He won't show up if I do that. Only. Let me think. Listen to where I'm going. He won't show up in my bedroom if I do that. He's there. He's there when the Golf Channel's going. He's not in heaven hoping I turn to him and then he come. He's there like the horse whisperer thing Sid talked about. He's just there waiting for me to turn to him, and I lose when I don't. He's not mad. But what, I'm the one. So what are we turning to? Say you're struggling with anxiety, worry, being tired all the time, whatever it might be. Those giants we talked about an hour ago. Well, a litmus test, we could all look in the mirror. I know me. What's my head hit the pillow moments like? Do you wake up at 4:15 with anxiety? Well, let that drive us to the Word of God again. Circumstances may or may not change, but I promise you, your perspective will. It will. Amen. The whole nutshell, and I'm going to cut to the chase because I don't want to be long today. And I shared it in the side room, and I touched on it last week, and I might touch on it as we turn to Jeremiah. I feel like, and this is just everything I've read, when I have spent time with God, and I'm ebb and flow in that, very much so. But what I'm feeling and hearing is that when we seek Him and we pray, and Jesus told us to ask, seek, and knock. He did. You're not being selfish when you're seeking His face and something hits your spirit and you begin to be specific with your prayer. Believe me, if you miss it, because you will, His Spirit will guide you back. Like that song we just sang, that rudder, you guide me in my wandering. If you're seeking God and you're asking amiss, He will correct it. But ask. Get back in practice of knocking. Seeking. Amen? I just completely lost my train of thought there. That's what happens when you chase 15 rabbits in a row and you don't get your notebook out. But I feel like the Lord's been trying to reveal to me, when we seek Him, the primary answer to any and all need, physical, financial, spiritual, relational, the primary answer to anything we could ask, seek, or knock for is God's presence. In that situation, that's the primary, not ultimate maybe, but the primary way God answers is His presence coming into that situation. The secondary thing is what we tend to put our hang our hat on, the cancer leaving the body, the finances being restored. Relationship being good things, and God answers and moves in those ways, but He's trying to teach me primarily His answer is, let me get in this with you and see where we go. When you walk through the waters. They will not overtake you. When you walk through the fire, they will not burn you. That's what Isaiah says. Amen. And he's just trying to remind me. I've shared this before. There's been several times in my life where I was much more in the routine of fasting and praying than I am now in this last season of my life. And I've had the Lord on more than one occasion. I remember distinctly the first time it happened. And don't read, the devil will use anything. Don't hear this, oh, that's an arrogant guy. But I had only a handful of things the Lord specifically put on my heart to fast about. Truly fast. And in those situations, Taven was one. When she had been born prematurely, I don't know how long it was from the time she was born till she came home. I've shared this before. I was backing out of my in-law's driveway at lunch one day, and I heard the Lord say, no more coffee till Haven comes home. And it was the first time I'd ever been challenged by the Lord. I had been challenged in other ways, you know, a month, no sugar. But I'd never had an open-ended one. As much as I didn't know Haven then, she hadn't come home yet. She was 26 weeks or whatever it was. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, anything but coffee. That sounds childish and selfish, and yeah, it is. But guess what? God didn't get offended with me. And I remember taking a big deep breath and said, well, you're going to have to help me with this one, God. My unbelief in that moment didn't offend my father one bit. I've not been with a man, Mary said. True. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. I've not done this well my whole Christian walk. True. But when I get involved, all things are possible. But until we walk across that answer you're seeking, I will be with you. And if you'll get in my word again, and if you'll start spending time with me again, asking and seeking what I lay on your heart again, your perspective will change. And even though circumstances may slowly change, the anxiety won't rule you anymore. Fear won't rule you anymore. You will be harder to be offended. You'll be quicker to pray for those that spitefully use you. And that's in red. Because that doesn't happen. With man, that's impossible. Even your granny and my granny wasn't good enough without the Lord to pray for those that treated them horribly. But when the Lord's involved, you can do it. Amen? And he honors it, not because you did it. He honors his word. He's not emotionally driven. He's bound by his word. Amen? So I don't know, let me open my Bible first. But just as I open it, if you remember last week, and I won't turn there. I won't. I will say that a goofy example, it's true. I mean, there were seasons where I felt like God, I never heard a voice, but I would hear him speak to me maybe more in the past than this recent time. But I remember distinctly, I had gone to the doctor for something. Dr. Parrish, I don't even know if it was Dr. Parrish. It was years ago, and I remember it was a Sunday morning. And it's just back before they called it in on the computer. You had to, like, physically take the piece of paper to the pharmacy, then they'd tell you when to come back. You know, the old days. You know, 2008. But I remember being in the bathroom before church, brushing my teeth, and I had gone to the doctor. And I remember I had that old black eel skin wallet I carried about 25 years. And it dawned on me, the prescription that the doctor had given me one day that week was still in my wallet. And it was like the Lord, it was comical. He was like, you know, you're walking around with a prescription in your pocket. And I was like, oh, there's a sermon in that. Now, well, that medicine or whatever it was, would it cure what my ailment was? I don't know. Probably not. But would it make it better? Would it make me be able to function that through the day? I don't know what it was. It might have been back when you had to have a prescription for whatever that purple lid stuff is. What do you, never mind. Keeps you regular. It used to be prescription only. But anyway, my point is, this is the prescription for everything that everybody in this room is facing. Will it cure your problem? I don't know. I know people in here who have seen loved ones healed. I've seen people, there are people in this same small group of people whose loved ones weren't. Same God. But I can promise you again, remember the primary answer to your prayer, your need? This is the prescription for God's presence to be with you through whatever it might be. And are you walking around with the prescription in your pocket? Amen? I know I do a lot. A lot. A lot. But anyway, tip of the iceberg. Last week we talked about Mary and her encounter with Gabriel in Luke 1. And all I'm going to say is that, you know, in Luke, we have the encounter, Gabriel's the angel both times with Zacharias and with the Mary, where he says incredible things about what their child's going to be. If you go back to the first part of Luke 1, what he says to Zacharias about John the Baptist is incredible. He quotes Malachi 4. He talks about all these wonderful things. You're going to be the spirit and power of Elijah. You're going to, you know, it's just one awesome thing after another. And then you get later in Luke 1, same angel 6 months later is talking to Mary. And we all know, a lot of us know that scripture. And you remember a few weeks ago, I think it was Mother's Day, when I did that, I told you about mentally. And now at the shed when I did this, I passed out 3x5 cards. And I said, draw a line down the middle. And on the left side of that list, on that piece of paper, put your biggest worry, your biggest need, the area of your life that you need God to move more than any other. And if there's multiple entries, write them down. And then I said, on the right side, write down tangible times when God has been faithful to you in your life. And then we talked about whichever one we're focused on is going to carry the weight in your daily walk. Remember that sermon, Mother's Day? And Scripture's full of it. Men that were much, much more focused on God and were used much more than me fell. Actually, I didn't even realize this until I was thinking about it today. Elijah fell when he took his eyes off of what God had called him to do. Fell bad. Fast forward 500 or however many years. Malachi was 500 years before John the Baptist. John the Baptist, same thing. What he focused on carried the weight in his life. And the Lord's just been challenging me. And then you go back to Mary and Zacharias. And they get this wonderful promise from the, not a visiting evangelist. Not Sid when he's in the zone. Because Sid has shared some mighty, mighty things with me when from the Lord. Not discrediting any of that. That's God, yes. Word of knowledge? Heck yeah. But this was Gabriel who said, he was a little bit offended, I think, at Zacharias. He says, I stand in the presence of God. Amen? But the word that came through Gabriel was one of those good ones. Not many visiting evangelists who want to be invited back give a lot of tough ones. I heard, I popped in a, oh my gosh, it had to have been 20 years old, 25 years old. You put it in, Beth. It was the Steve Hill sermon, Get Your House in Order. And Steve Hill was like, he said, we're going to pull out some, he said, everybody likes the, what do you call it? The good ones. What do you call the good ones? Anyway, like sweets. Those words from the Lord that are all just, woo, wonderful. Head not the tail. Lender not the bar. Oh, y'all, they, he said, and they're legitimate. He said, but there's some in there that are like broccoli too. Like he who removes his hand from the plowshare and goes back to his old ways. Thank God for God's grace. But my point is, even Gabriel, and I was picturing Mary with her 3x5 card that we talked about. You know, on the left side, man, I'm sure she had Gabriel's encounter and all the things she saw walking with her son for 33 years. And then she, the day that was why Christ came, that probably in her humanity she didn't want, when he was on the cross, when he saw her son just beat to shreds and treated like he was, in that moment, I pictured her with her card out. And what do you do when you're in a moment like that? Well, like we talked about last week at the very end, and I struggled getting there. Gabriel gave Mary two lifelines in the middle of this ridiculous request or statement or announcement. He said, all these things are going to happen. You're going to have a child. He's going to be the Son of God. Da, 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 da. And your relative, Elizabeth, is 6 months pregnant. She that was called barren. And my point is, when as we begin to walk and as we begin to get regrounded, that it's his presence over everything. I believe in these other things. By his stripes we're healed. Ask for it. Seek for it. Knock fast. Amen. We can call those things that are not as though they are. We can declare things. Yes. But while we walk through that, God's presence is primary. Because in his presence, there's fullness of what? Anxiety? Joy. Joy. He prepares a table, a plate for us. Where? In the presence of our enemies. James spoke on that recently. But number one, you've got to surround yourself. You've got to have godly people that believe the same way, that God can move that way. If you've drifted from close relationships in this house, open back up and let God reconnect with some people, not just on Sundays for an hour and a half, but in life. Mary needed to go to Elizabeth's house. And it says she left with haste and went. But even bigger than that, when she's sitting around on a Tuesday struggling with what she just had told to her, what did Gabriel say? With God, when doubt rises, when you start questioning it, because you're human and you will, all things are possible with God. And you might have to, while you're so full of anxiety and fear, you can't. Anybody ever had a hard time breathing because anxiety was so bad? When you can't get your next breath, you can quote Luke 1:37. I don't understand this, Father, but you said with you all things are possible. With man, this may be impossible. With me, I know it's impossible. I've done it wrong too often. But you said, God, with you all things are possible. That's ugly. But we might need some ugly Christianity for a season. In your private time, in your quiet time, even here. Amen? So surround yourself with godly people that believe and get back in this so that when your humanity rises, because it will, you can quote to the devil, hey, I know I am who he says I am, and guess what? This is what he says I am. Amen? It's not deep, but we've quit doing it, Rarty. We've quit doing it as a whole. I have. It's very sporadic in my life. And God's not mad. You know, the pharmacist wasn't mad when I finally went and gave them the piece of paper. They filled it. We lean back into the arms of a loving Father. He's just wanting you to. Amen. He's in the corner of my bedroom just wanting me to turn to Him. If I don't, it's like, oh, guess what? I'll be here when you wake up. I'll be here while you're sleeping. Because in your hectic day, I do remember driving to Noonan and you pled the blood of Christ over your family. I'll honor that. I wanted to do more. I wanted to do like your, I wanted to give you some supernatural sleep. But you know, but I love you and I'm here. That's good news, guys. As James was talking, he doesn't withdraw when we screw it up. We miss out, but he's there. Amen. Oh man. But as a backdrop, I wanted to say that, you know, we highlight the good so often we think that if we mess it up, that it's all messed up, and it's not. I'm going to say here, and I wrote down a bunch of promises in my notes, and I hadn't even got my notebook out. I'm not even going to get it out. But then I do feel like I was nudged to go back and look up some of the context of some of these scriptures that we all like to quote. And don't get me wrong, the Word of God is alive. It's spirit. It is not ink on paper. It is not. I promise you, I've had it happen. I've blew the dust off. I was given one time, I don't know who gave it to me, the plastic that the little pieces of the scripture was on, the plastic container you stuck them in, looked like a loaf of bread. It was the bread of life. So you'd pull one out every day, and there was a scripture on the front and a scripture on the back. And it was so haphazard because I dropped it in my car so many times and re-stuck them back in there so they weren't in the order they were in, if there was ever. But God's is so good. His spirit is so good. His word is so alive. I can't tell you how many times I would find them. I wouldn't have done it for a year, Lisa. And I'd find that thing in my dash, or maybe I'd change offices at work and it'd be stuck in the back and I hadn't seen it in a year. I need to get back into just memorizing scripture. Oh, you start doing that. And I would try to do one piece a day. I'd do the first half, then the back half, one a day. God is so good and He so wants to minister to the people around you. There would be circumstances pop up where that piece of cardboard that had been in my truck 5 years, it would be right on the money time and time and time again. I'm not making that up. I am not making that up. Because God's word's alive. It's spirit. Amen. Just engage where you are. Let Him meet you there. Because the one that a lot of us have heard, I've said this before, this is scripture that Beth, bless her heart, she stenciled it on Mary's bedroom when Mary was born. Jeremiah 29:11. Anybody know that? Anybody want to quote it? For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. It's we had more than a piece of cardboard. We had it painted on the wall. Beth did it. It was beautiful. To see that on the wall. But I'm going to close with this, because I'm going to go back and read the context that'll get a Pentecostal hopping and running. Jeremiah 29:11. Amen. And it's true. But let's read context real quick. Amen. Jeremiah 29:1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder. So numbers had dwindled. Look around. There used to be more elders than there were now. This is the letter sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive. To the priests, to the prophets, to the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So they weren't They had lived in the promised land. Through their own rebellion and sin and hard hearts, God allowed them to be taken captive and be sent to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar took them captive. And along the way, many fell off. Look around. Our community, our culture. You know, the church hasn't rebounded post-COVID. Amen? It's not a knock. Guess what? When we re-engage, when we start. I just quit inviting people. Not really a choice, not because I just stopped. It wasn't on my radar anymore. To be evangelistic, to be burdened about somebody's soul. Amen? Guess what? God's not mad. He's like, engage. Just engage. Confess it, move on, engage. Then skip to verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all. Not to a select few. To everybody. To everybody who was carried away captive. The Lord's saying to everybody under the sound of my voice who may be struggling right now. Everyone. To all. To all whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. We don't preach that. And listen here. This is in the middle of your struggle. In the middle of your, if you're like me, your self-imposed Babylon in many cases. Amen. In the middle of this trial that you're in, whatever it might be. Shut up, close your door, get your Bible out, fast and pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's not what he says. What does he say? Build houses and dwell in them in Babylon. Get over your mourning for Jerusalem. Refocus on me and engage where you are. That'll preach. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat from them. Engage where you are. You miss God, you make a decision. Confess and engage. Confess and get this back out. Confess and just, God forbid we meet up here and go out and knock on a few doors and invite people to church. Ugh! It'd be so painful. Guess what? Somebody might be here. Somebody might show up. Amen. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives. Basically, be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. That you increase there and not be diminished. In the middle of a tough season. Just engage with me in the middle of your tough season so that I can move and you can multiply and be blessed and not diminished in this tough season. Amen? Because it gets better. And seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive. Pray for those that spitefully use you. I know your new boss is first cousins with Satan. But pray for him. You used to preach it. Now you got to live it. Just live it. And that's been in my lap for a while. I mean, he's a good guy. But the Lord used it to. I don't live offended too much, but I was starting to live offended and angry. And puff, you know. Pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. So we want him to depose the thing in our way. And he's like, no. You pray for peace here. And the byproduct of that will be you will have peace. That person you can't stand. Pray for peace in their life. Not for God to remove them necessarily from your life. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets or your diviners, basically he goes and says, hey, you're only hearing what you want to hear here. Anybody? And then it gets down. I'm almost done. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed in Babylon, and here's a word to somebody and to me. The Lord may not have spelled it out like right here, but I can promise you whatever storm you're in right now, whatever season you're in right now, the Lord was with you before it started. He's with you right now in the middle of it. And he's already at the end waiting for y'all, not you, us, to get there. He's telling the people, hey, I see the end of this. You stay focused on me, and when the time that I said that I predetermined to move, I will move. Your sin got you here. Confess it, refocus on me, and I will, at the end of 70 years, I don't know what your season is, but what does it say he'll do? At the end of 70 years in Babylon, I will visit you. I will perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. What place? Peace, joy, happiness, contentment. For I know the thoughts, and this is, we're back to the hallelujah verse. There's a lot of stuff behind it or in front of it, which makes the verse even better. For I, even though you're in captivity right now, that you brought on yourself, I know the thoughts I think towards you, Brett House, says the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil. They're thoughts to give you a future. And here's something that so many in our world today need: hope. As much as I would accept a financial miracle and influx right now, probably more than that. How many of you, is there any situations in here where you've just lost hope and you've just kind of moved on emotionally? Anybody? He wants to rebirth hope in a people. Then you, listen, it gets better. Then you'll call on my, you'll call upon me, and then you'll pray to me, and I will listen to you. It's a word, it's a promise from God. I know the devil's whispering, it's too, don't just, you know, it's been this way too long. You've restarted 36 times. But the Lord says, hey, start calling on me. I will listen to you. And here's a big one. And you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I can honestly tell you that a lot of my searching, Marty, has not been with all my heart. God's not mad at me. God's still in my pasture, per Sid Garner. And he won't leave. That's how he violently and recklessly chases me. He won't leave. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ, what the Word says. Now I can resist his blessing. But he is like, when you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. End of story. End of story. That's good news, guys. So go ahead and stand to your feet and we'll close up with this. It says, verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. The Lord wants us back from anxiety. Back from, can I speak to it? Back from insecurity. How many of you struggle? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you struggle with insecurity? And in the world we live in, it's hard. It's hard right now. It's hard. because everybody's security is on display. And don't think the devil's not working that front. And if you're not in this, you can leave sweatier than I am right now from a worship service. But guess what, Marty? Tuesday morning at 4 o'clock, I hope I'm not this sweaty. It's this. What the devil's afraid of. It's this that the Spirit of God's calling us back to. And I promise you, we return to that. We re-engage with God. We start asking and seeking Him with our whole heart again. He just promised He will be found by us, and He will listen to us, and He will bring us out of that captivity. Because guess what? He's already there. He's already there, Jen. And He's not waiting on us to get there. He's with us, walking us to there. There's a difference. But I asked Casey to play this song. It's 4 minutes. So you got 4 more minutes. 4 minutes, 25 seconds. I caught the chorus of it driving home. I think I touched on this last week. I caught the chorus of it about 2 weeks ago coming home from work. And it was one of those times the Lord just got in the cab of my truck and tore me up somewhere between Whitesburg and Carrollton. There's only three words to the chorus, and I got them wrong as I was re-singing it. So as we sing this, just be open with God. I feel like sometimes I don't get out what the Lord laid on my heart, so forgive me for that. But if one person in here refocuses on God and says, "You know what, God, I'm going to give this a try. What do you have to lose?" All those things that we put before the Lord, do they meet you at 4:15 with peace? No, they bring anxiety and worry. The things that we go to bed with, they don't care for us. They want to pull us away from, the devil knows how powerful this is. Amen. So as we sing this song, I don't know what you might need. You might just need to be quiet before the Lord. I pray that we all have ears to hear what the Spirit might say to us. And just listen to the words of these songs. If you need to come to the altar, it is open. If you need to spend time with God where you are, it is open. You just do that. But let God speak to you. And just have an open heart. And go into this next week, Lord, and just start asking again, seeking again, and knocking again. I promise you God will meet you there. Amen.
With the stories of your goodness, and still it couldn't capture who you are. You've been faithful every age. You are Alpha and Omega. The greatness of your love sets you apart. Oh, let our worship sound like heaven, singing the words we'll sing forever. Singing holy, worthy. Singing glory in the highest. the Lamb for all He is and all He's done. We'll sing these words forever.